Good day to you. Bernie Miklas here with another Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thanks for being with me again. Thank you for subscribing and thank you for leaving your comments and hitting the like button and all that good stuff I beg you all to do every day. I want to say up front, I'm having some issues with the old technology today. So if this video is a little wonky, I apologize. I will work to get it resolved. I've been having an issue getting everything synced up. So doing the best I can here. A man of limited skills when it comes to technology. I want to talk about the Cardinals today. I want to talk about the way things used to be when the Cardinals were very, 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 very good for a long time, which they were. One of the best teams in baseball for a long time, no doubt about it. They always had a way to like find players that no one else looked at or draft players that no one else had on their board or had them rated way lower than the Cardinals did. So the Cardinals would come up with all of these finds, these hidden gems, and people would just, baseball executives with other teams kind of lose their mind because it was just like, how do they keep coming up with these guys? And, you know, it might be like drafting an Alan Craig and what he became before he got hurt. Same with Matt Carpenter. I mean, there's a million examples. Or when they would, the Cardinals had a really good track record of signing low-level free agents, just taking a chance on somebody, especially a pitcher like Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan could get them fixed up and kind of reinvent them. And they were like, there they go again. How do they just keep doing this? And this was dubbed, some of you will know this, this was dubbed by baseball executives with other teams plus national media, Cardinals devil magic. Because everything they seemed to touch worked. Not everything, but you know what I mean. They just had uncanny results with players and pitchers that just were not, you know, very well or very highly thought of. But they kept getting results from these guys, and they kept winning because of these guys or with these guys playing a role, right? And so it was devil magic. The Cardinals had this touch called devil magic. And, you know, it occurs to me, if you review the last few years, what's been going on around here, it's kind of like the reverse devil magic now, right? It used to be, you know, players would come to St. Louis and all of a sudden they go from being below average or just kind of and then they're really good players or pitchers or, you know, the Cardinals would draft someone in the late rounds and they'd pay off and, you know, they didn't have any problems with their player development system. It, you know, just kept flowing and flowing and flowing. So now when the Cardinals have players that maybe have some success with them, as we know, but then all they sort of hit the wall, they bottom out, and the Cardinals don't know what to do with them, and they can't fix them. And then these players go elsewhere, and they are better because of it. They get better in their new environment. It's the reverse of devil magic. And, you know, it used to be the Cardinals would find these players and they would always know what to do to fix a player and to make a player better. The pitchers, it applies to pitchers too. But now it's the exact opposite. Cardinals don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to fix someone when they go bad. And then the person moves on and whoever takes a chance on it's like, well, the Cardinals been screwing up a lot of players. They can't figure things out with these guys anymore. And so we'll take a chance because I like our chances of getting this player right and getting this player up to speed. And it's happened time and time again, this thing I call reverse devil magic. And that's exactly what it is. I'll give you an example because it's in the news. Like Mike Schilt, who was a good manager here. So it's not like he went to San Diego and did better, but he's an example of what I'm talking about. Like, you know, Mike Schilt is one of the finalists for National League Manager of the Year. And it's pretty remarkable when you think about it. You know, if you look at Schilt's, 2019, 20, 21, and 24. That's four full seasons, right? 2020 was a COVID season. But, I mean, he's been the manager from the start of the season to the end of the season in four seasons. Three with the Cardinals and one with the Padres. Of course, he took over from Mike Matheny around the All-Star break in 2018. I'm not counting that. I'm talking about when he was the manager of the team of a team, Cardinals or Padres, start to finish in that season. So in four seasons managing the Cardinals and the Padres, you know, he's made the playoffs all four times and also won the Manager of the Year award in the National League in 2019. finished third in 2021, his final year as a Cardinals manager. And now in his first season as the Padres manager, he is a finalist again. He's one of three finalists. I don't think he'll win it, but that's neither here nor there. He's being recognized for his excellent work with the Padres, which consisted of 93 wins, first year with the Padres manager as the manager, 93 wins, second highest win total by the San Diego franchise in its history. And also 93 wins, even though it's still a talented team, but 93 wins from a roster after a change in Padres ownership because of the death of their previous owner. They started cutting back financially, and they trimmed $90 million off the payroll following the 2023 season. So Schilt takes over, 93 wins, second most of all time, and does this with the Padres. And then he does this after they had slashed $90 million from the payroll. So Schilt, we know, is a really, really good manager. But instead of being in the Cardinals manager for a long time, he had to go to somewhere else and rebuild his career. And now he's probably better than ever. But you look at all the players. And by the way, I just want to say something. This is not meant to be a complete list. If you want to throw somebody in, you can. But just make sure, like, for example, I'll give you an example who I don't include, all right? Like, I'll be going through some of these names, these reverse devil magic names. And, I'm not going to put Sandy Alcantara or Zach Gallen on the list. They famously were traded to Miami in the Marcell Ozuna trade. Listen, I'm not including prospects on the list, guys who had not been in the major leagues. Alcantara might have had a little taste with the Cardinals. No, this isn't about prospects. This is about guys in the big leagues who lost their way here, just all of a sudden just no longer could perform very well, even though they had for the Cardinals at the beginning or whatever. And the Cardinals can never figure out what to do with them. We've been through this a lot. But so this is not meant to be 100% comprehensive. I'm just doing some highlighting. And I'll tell you another example. Luke Weaver's not going to be on this list because I saw that crap during the Yankees postseason. Right? Oh, see, there's another one. No. Listen, there is plenty to rip the Cardinals for. We don't need to make things up and pile on and just be mean for the sake of being mean, okay? Luke Weaver, they traded him in the Goldschmidt deal, sending him to Arizona before the 2019 season, and several teams have given up on him, okay? He was bouncing around. Yankees, to their credit, saw him as a reliever, not a starter, and then saw him, when some of his pitches got better, as a guy that could be a late-inning reliever, and they made it work. But I think it's a cheap shot. I think it's just totally 100% bogus to put Luke Weaver on a list, the kind of list that I'm talking about here, the reverse devil magic list. So anyway, we mentioned the manager. The latest is Tommy Edman. Yeah, that's based on the postseason he had, but why not, right? Gosh, he didn't even play for the Cardinals in 2024, and all of a sudden he's like one of the postseason heroes for the world championship Dodgers. Tyler O'Neill, great year in Boston. Randy Rosarena, the classic example. Adolis Garcia, classic example, even though every other major league team had a chance to pick up Garcia and they didn't. And the Texas Rangers, the team that actually did sign him after the Cardinals let him go, they also let him go, but then they had some injuries. So, well, we better get him back here. So not once, but twice, every other team in baseball had a chance to pick up Adolis Garcia. And the Rangers sort of got lucky with this one, but to their credit, the bottom line is it worked. But again, I think Garcia goes in the category. Like, it's a little misleading to put him on this list, but he's on the list because the Cardinals never gave him a chance. And that's a point. They never gave Rosarena a full chance. That's the point. There used to be a time where they would give chances to players like this. They would find out everything they can about him. And then they would know whether this was the guy they thought or they hoped for. And yeah, that's the guy. See, we gave him a chance, and look out. He's the guy. Never gave those two kids a chance. And so they went elsewhere to find themselves in the major leagues and find all their talent and bring it to the surface. And one year, what was it, 2022, was it, or 2023? Garcia and Rosarena started in the outfield for the American League in the All-Star game. I mean, you know, stuff like that. But then some people say, Cardinals apologists, well, Tampa Bay traded Rosarena. You know, they got tired. They traded him as if this vindicates the Cardinals, right? Tampa Bay Rays got a hell of a lot out of Randy Rosarena while he was there. They decided he's starting to move into the money years. They could do better. They got most out of him as they thought they could. Nah, Cardinals don't get a pass just because Tampa Bay decided to move on primarily because of financial reasons. Okay. So anyway, Rosarena, Garcia, Lane Thomas, Edmundo Sosa to an extent, Tommy Pham to an extent. Listen, Marcell Ozuna was much better once he moved to Atlanta than he was here in St. Louis. He wasn't bad here, but he became just much better in Atlanta. Juan Yepes got better. Washington said, we can work with him, and they did. And they put him at first base. They worked with some other things. He had a good year once they called him up from the minors. Matt Adams. He had a year or two pretty dang good for the Cardinals, but he goes to Atlanta and really had a couple of big years. And so I would say Adams probably slightly better after he left the Cardinals, got traded to Atlanta in the deal that brought Yepes to St. Louis. If you look at some of the pitchers, and again, it's a partial list, Jack Flaherty, great in 2019, leveled off, injuries, disruptions, this, that, distracted, whatever. Never could get back in form as a St. Louis Cardinal. And then he signs, they trade him to Baltimore. He didn't do anything in Baltimore either at the deadline, after the deadline in 23. But he's a guy who, finally got that shoulder healed or sound and got physically stronger and worked hard and signed with the Tigers on a one-year make good deal. And he did very, very well. They flipped into the Dodgers at the trade deadline. He helped the Dodgers out a lot. So Jack Flaherty's on the list of the reverse devil magic, right? Michael Wacha is on the list of the reverse devil magic because he did really well in St. Louis. 2013, he was incredible, but it just slowly kind of went, you know, didn't crash, but just slowly subsided. And he's been, if you just look at his basic numbers, like his ERA plus, for example, you can see he's been better overall. In these other places, if you add it all together compared to his time in St. Louis, which was disrupted by that, in effect, shoulder blade injury that was chronic and always wore him down. Johan Oviedo did really good in Pittsburgh after the Cardinals traded him, although he missed last year because of Tommy John, I do believe. Guys like Matt Bowman, number of relievers, got better when they went to some other places. There aren't as many pitchers as there are hitters. And then there's also guys, like one example, there's some guys who came here and actually did get better. Giovanni Gallegos being one of those guys. They got him in the trade for Luke Voit from the Yankees. Gallegos was a hell of a reliever for the Cardinals for about 3 years, and then he burned out. And some of these guys, Steven Matz got worse when he came here in the trade, like for free agent signing. Dexter Fowler got worse when he came here. Sonny Gray was pretty good this year, but he wasn't as good as he was last season for Minnesota when he was second in the Cy Young voting. So technically speaking, he got worse, or he lost some of his performance form. And so on and on and on. There's so many other names I could throw in here, but I think you get the point. And I didn't mention, you know, the guys that are on the team now, because this is a big year for a lot of them in 2025, and we got to see which way they're going to go. Are they going to rise up? Have they plateaued? Or a couple of them, like Walker and Gorman, are they going to continue to spiral? Are they going to get back on track? Are they going to get to the talent level and where they fulfill that talent level? I don't know, but I'm not. There's nowhere to put any of these guys yet because their Cardinals careers aren't over. They're still here. I'm talking about Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar, Nolan Gorman, Walker, Burleson, Ciani, Victor Scott, Ivan Herrera, Pedro Pajes. There are others. You get my point. Pitchers we know about. No need to read all those names. Not talking about guys that are still here. But it is amazing, though, how many people just had to go find themselves as players or pitchers with other players. The reverse devil magic. The Cardinals used to be able to grab those guys from other teams and make them better. Now it's the exact opposite, right? That's not good. It's one of the reasons why the Cardinals have kind of just slowly sank to the point where they're a shadow of what they were in terms of like annual contendership, annual playoffs, annual in the hunt for a pennant or a World Series, even if they didn't get it. They always were in there. They always had a chance. And now they're kind of scrounging, and now they have to sort of rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it, you know, for a couple of years while they get their minor league system and player development system and all the equipment and coaching and instructing and technology, facilities, all that stuff's going to be dramatically upgraded. So the Cardinals are at least trying to do something better late than never. But again, the reverse devil magic has got to come to an end. The Cardinals got to get back to the time where they're the ones that are the beneficiaries of devil magic, of like mysterious players who all suddenly become very, very good. And everyone in baseball is like, what? Whoa, what happened with this guy? Why is he doing this? He didn't do it there. It is really kind of amazing. So they got to change the devil magic jinx. They got to get it back the other way. Why though? See, listen, anybody, we can all do this. You know, I didn't even have to name names because you know about all this stuff. I didn't really have to go through that, but I did. I wanted to refresh your memory, give you the context of what I'm talking about with reverse devil magic. But why did it happen? Like, what are the factors? What are your theories? And I really want you to offer what your theories are why this thing has reversed, and what has caused it or what has led to it. I don't know that it's any one answer that covers everything. I think it's a combination of factors, but I really do want to hear your point of view on this very much so. And I appreciate it. Thank you in advance, but I'm going to just go. And these are, I'm not listing these in any particular order. Like if the things I talk about first or second, that doesn't mean I think they're the primary reasons. I just jotted some thoughts down so I wouldn't lose my place talking about this. Okay. First of all, the standards dropped. From you know, ownership and front office on down, where you know the Cardinals used to be up here, everything they tried to do, right? They were at a higher level than all but a few major league teams, but the standards dropped. And who were those standards set by? They were set by Bill DeWitt Jr. when he bought the team, Walt Jocketty, Tony La Russa, Dave Duncan, Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright, Chris Carpenter, Matt Carpenter, Matt Holliday, Scott Rowland, Jeff Suppan. I mean, right on down the list. The Jim Edmonds, I don't think I mentioned him, right on down the list. You know, when you would enter the Cardinals realm, you just see all these legendary players walking around and guys you knew were among the very best in baseball, and you had a future Hall of Fame manager and a Cardinals Hall of Fame pitching coach. And I do believe that the environment has a lot to do with this. When you've got a championship-winning team, again, a team that's going to be at that caliber just about every year for a long time. Not that they'll get it done every year, but they're going to be in the hunt every year. And you see all these incredible players winning all these awards, and they set the highest standard in the major leagues. And all of a sudden, one by one, they're all gone. I mean, they all leave. They retire, you know? And you lose something. You lose something when you don't have – you're not able to fill that void. In a way, it's like, well, good luck. How many teams could fill that void, right? When you lose all of this Hall of Fame talent that did nothing but win and win and win and win. And I left some names off, but you know what I'm talking about. So those wonderful teams we had the privilege of watching. You know, when a team has been great for a long time, and they kind of run out of magic and they get stale, they get outdated. They lose their way, so to speak. You know, a lot of times it is pretty ugly. I mean, it's not easy to just like suddenly pivot and you're as good as new. You're good as like the old days all over again. You're back after like 6 months or a year. Sometimes you sort of fall off that proverbial cliff and you have to find a way to come back up. And it takes time, depending on the situation. So I think when you have these incredibly high standards set by incredible players and front office people and pitchers and ownership, when Bill DeWitt was ahead of the curve, right? But hired Jeff Luno and all that. That's a tough loss. It happens to everybody, but it's tough to get over. And you walk in now, you're a young Cardinal. You're aware of the franchise history. You're aware of all the greatness, but that greatness is in the past. It's not so much living history that you can see in the clubhouse around you. And I got to believe that has something to do with it. I mean, I think when you have a high standard And everyone who enters that clubhouse knows it's all about reaching the highest of standards. And all of a sudden, those standards are relaxed. And all of a sudden, those standards deteriorate. It's just got to have a corrosive effect, I think. Another reason is something we've talked about in relation to Chaim Bloom taking over the farm system and getting that squared away. When you're bringing players to the major leagues, you want them to be prepared, fully prepared. You want to them to have every resource and every tool that they can. You want them to benefit from that. And somewhere a few years ago, maybe a little longer, the Cardinals got away from that. They got away from that so bad that when players came up here, they weren't fully prepared. They had big holes in their game or big holes in their swing. They didn't get the instruction in the minor leagues. They didn't get the coaching in the minor leagues. They didn't have the infrastructure in the minor leagues. So they're coming up like maybe, you know, sometimes like, I don't know where you all get your pizza. You know, you can go buy a half-baked pizza, right? Well, it's easy to get a half-baked pizza from your favorite pizza place and then bring it home and finish baking it. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But when you're baseball players, you're the next wave, the next generation, the people that are going to lead you into the promised land again. You don't want half-baked prospects. They need to be just about done by the time they get up here, or at least fully prepared. Because players come to the minor league and from the minor leagues to the majors, they're a lot younger now, younger than they've been for a long, long time. There is no long period in the minor leagues, but that's also why it's important to take the time that they are in the minor leagues and get them ready. Get them as maximum ready as you can by making sure they have everything they need to get to that level as they go to the big leagues. They'll be better prepared to handle the challenges in the majors. The Cardinals let that slide. I think that's a reason why some of these guys have not reached fruition. In the old days, they did. Better coaching, better managing, better instructing, better front office, better this, better that, better this, better that. Again, standards kind of fell, right? They kind of eroded. I think we talk about culture a lot, but, you know, we saw the culture, and it's not a coincidence. When I say we saw the culture still at a high level as recently as 2022, because Goldschmidt was still good. Arenado was still good. Not as good, but he was still good. I mean, they finished Goldie first, Arenado third in the MVP vote in 2022. Albert Pujols came back for one more year, and after a slow start, I think he was pressing. He was nervous. He wanted to make a positive impression. Once he settled in, he was phenomenal. Yadier Molina was still the catcher, still running the pitching staff. Adam Wainwright had the final good season that he would have in the major leagues in 2022. And they had strong leadership because you had Pujols moving in. Molina was still there. Wainwright was there. Those guys run everything, right? Goldschmidt's not a leader in the classic sense. Arenado is definitely not a leader in the classic sense. So is it a coincidence that once they, you know, once Pujols moved in, Pujols moved back in, Molina was there for the final year, and it was a big deal. Wainwright was still doing his thing, still leading the young pitchers. Is it any coincidence that it didn't matter if Arenado and Goldie were good leaders or not? Because those other guys, these Cardinals legends, they took care of the business, right? They ran the clubhouse. This was good for Goldie, and it was good for Arenado because they didn't have to worry about that stuff because they weren't all that interested in it anyway. Although Goldie would help anybody who needed his help, but he's not a intervention, proactive type guy. That's all I'm trying to say. He likes to just get ready for ball games and work on his own weaknesses. So the culture has definitely changed. And how could the culture not change when you see, again, as recently as 2022, Pujols, Molina, Wainwright, and all of a sudden, bye-bye, you know, to all of them, with Wainwright being the last to check out after 2023 and retire. That's a big loss one way or the other. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it's a huge challenge. So you better have the next generation ready to take over. The Cardinals, as we know, did not have that, the next generation ready to take over, right? They didn't have it. Hey, when Pujols came to the major leagues in 2001, he was the next generation. I mean, he didn't take over the team as a rookie because they had some big time players still, but he was starting to be slowly, not too slow, but steadily, they became Albert Pujols' team, right? The Cardinals had Mike Matheny behind the plate when Yadier Molina came up in 2004, but the Cardinals knew, and they knew it even before he came to the major leagues, the Cardinals knew Yadier Molina was going to be taking over everything. And that's why the Cardinals wished Mike Matheny well. He was a heck of a catcher here. And he got a really good contract with the San Francisco Giants as a free agent because it was Molina's time. It was a matter of time, short time, before he took over and became the guy in charge, in effect, in the clubhouse, along with Pujols, among the players I'm talking about. So the culture is definitely not the same. The standards are not the same. I can't help but think that influences younger players who are struggling. They don't have that support system. They don't have the internal leadership. They don't have the resources, the tools, all of the things that other young players are getting in other organizations to be at their best as soon as possible. That's another factor. And I'm going to mention this, and this will make you all happy, right? Well, there's two things that will make you happy. You look at Bill DeWitt, who to me was the model owner for a long, 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 long time. I don't give a damn what anybody says he was. All you got to do is look at their bottom line record. But he let things slip. He did, which is why he's now trying to make amends. Again, I've talked about it, 7,000 times. Bill DeWitt let things slip, and that's his fault. John Mozeliak had high standards I don't scrub history. I don't pretend something didn't happen when it happened. John Mozeliak was on top of his game as a general manager for quite a long time, but then he slipped. Him and DeWitt together slipped, and both related, both connected. And so if you're a young Cardinal coming up from the system, or a new player coming from somewhere else, you probably at some point, every one of them said, well, this probably wasn't what it was like when all those other guys were here, or, when the Cardinals were really aggressive and they were always going out and getting a player. And, they had a top 10, top 11 payroll, things like that. I think when players pick up on maybe the commitment to winning isn't what it should be, I don't see how that can be good for anybody that's wearing the uniform, right? And then you have the managerial tradition. I think strong leadership, really strong proven leadership, if you can get it, is really desirable. And I know baseball's gone in the opposite direction. I know that baseball's hiring young managers, a lot of first-time managers. And you know what? There have been some really great hires. The guy in Kansas City, the guy in Cleveland. I could go on, many of them. So the Cardinals aren't the only team, and that's the other thing. People act like this is the only franchise or something where they have hired unproven managers. More and more across the land, we're seeing this. And the old classic managers, unless Bruce Bochy wants to come out of retirement, which he did, unless Terry Francona wants to come out of retirement, which he did, I'm not sure how many managers are out there who weren't just sort of raised from the nursery, raised from the crib, and put into the manager's job probably before they were entirely ready, but the Cardinals aren't the only ones guilty of that. Still, that said, now let's go through this. And this is really quick, actually. Think about the managerial tradition in St. Louis, right? Johnny Keene wins the World Series in 1964 as the manager. Then he defects to the Yankees. Red Shaneen takes over. Red's a Hall of Fame guy, Hall of Fame player, Hall of Famer, period. They win the 67 World Series. They win the pennant in 68. Red had some great teams and really did a heck of a job. Then it was turned over to Ken Boyer, and that was at a time where things were starting to go downhill with Anheuser-Busch. And, the baseball team was kind of getting old on the vine a little bit. And the great Ken Boyer did what he could, but that didn't work out too well. So you go from Shane Deese, and then there's a Ken Boyer period of time. Then it's Whitey Herzog. Then it's Joe Torre, who was better here than he got credit for. Then it was Tony La Russa, right? And then, by extension, George Kissel's favorite coach in the minors, favorite teacher in the minors, Mike Schilt, became the manager. And although, no one was saying, oh, well, he's the next La Russa at the time. But as time has gone on, we've learned for sure the guy is one hell of a manager, right? So through the years, through as the generation cycle through, the Cardinals, think about that leadership. Think about all these men that I just talked about. Think about the huge difference that made in establishing the culture, in having high standards, and taking the very best of what the Cardinals had always been through the generations and passing it along and installing it within the young players or the new players. All that stuff just kind of got washed away. And so if you look at it in that context, plus they're not getting, you know, they didn't have good coaching staffs. They haven't. They haven't had good instructors. They haven't had top of the line anything really. And so no wonder players flame out here. No wonder young players stall out and no one up here knows what to do. No wonder these guys and pitchers go somewhere else and have more success right away because the other teams know what to do with them to make it better. When you leave, when this culture dissolves and these high standards erode and these strong, strong leaders in the dugout who just led the Cardinals to extraordinary things, most of them, when that procession of lions, if you will, right? Lions who are just in charge, right? They're in charge of everything. That's the lion. That's the head of the pack. Watch out. You know, so all the lions go away for one reason or another. And then, you know, I don't even like saying this because I think Ali Marmol is doing the best he can. But again, we all would agree that Ali Marmol is not in the category with these other guys. And I've never tried to claim otherwise other than point out and defend for some of the stuff I think is unfair. But I don't want to turn this into another Ali Marmol vinegar toss contest. You know, where we're all, you know, getting a little salty and, you know, if I just dare say one positive thing about him, people just get all bent out of shape. No, there has been a regression or a weakening of the managerial bloodlines with each subsequent hire, right? La Russa to Mike Matheny, that didn't work out. And Matheny won a lot of games, but he was doing it with a really good set of players. And he benefited from the culture established by La Russa and Duncan, right? And Pujols and Molina, even though Pujols was gone. That culture was still in place and those standards were still in place. And Mike Matheny did pretty good for a while, but he got worse as a manager instead of better. And then Schilt was kind of bringing that old school Cardinals way back. And he actually did a really good job here. I didn't like him in the post-game press conference. That's the only thing I didn't like. The record speaks for itself, and now he's doing it out in San Diego. So you can't take all these blows and these combination of factors where every one of them works against you and it because you let it get that way. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just a fluke thing. You let it get that way. You let it slip and slide and deteriorate and get to the condition where you look around, where'd that culture go? Where is that winning Cardinals culture? Where is it? Where's the leadership in the clubhouse? Where are the standards set by all of the great men they had leading this franchise, either on the field, in the dugout, in the manager's office, upstairs? The fact that the Cardinals were always known for having, like, you know, giants as managers, right? Giants of the game as managers. And all of this stuff that we talk about, you know, the coaching, the infrastructure, that eroded. Everything has slipped because the people in charge let it slip. And now they're scrambling to try to put it all back together again. But is it, and I know I'm being redundant and I apologize, but is it any wonder why so many players leave here and get better when they get a fresh start in a new environment where maybe the culture is better? A lot better. Maybe there's a stronger manager. Maybe there's a stronger coach. Maybe there's a stronger manager, stronger coaches, stronger instructor. If they have to go to the minor leagues where they really got guys down there, big staffs helping all their youngsters out, they can make them better before they get their second chance at the big league level, that kind of thing. It's no wonder when you put these forces at work, forces that are working against the Cardinals because of the Cardinals' own neglect, it actually makes sense in a way. It's an abstract thing, but it actually makes all the sense in the world. So I'm curious about your thoughts of all this because I think it's actually a juicy topic because It's just amazing for someone like me who had a ringside seat, so to speak, watching all this great Cardinals baseball and writing about it and talking about it over the decades, and to just see where it is now. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by seeing Cardinals leave here and thrive elsewhere. Now, how do they get it back to the way it was? The incorrect answer is spend money. And you know how I feel about that. No, smart. Get smart. Get smart. Reestablish high standards. Make sure you got people who can teach and coach players. Make sure you have strong leadership and make sure that you have an eye on that as you're putting a team together. You can't replace a Pujols or a Molina, although you could hire one of them as a manager. But you can't replace these guys, these Cardinals legends. But things did not have to fall apart the way that they did, where your culture is now unrecognizable and your standards are unrecognizable compared to what they used to be. All right, I'll shut up now. See, I actually started to get warmed up as I was going along. So the good stuff was near the end, close to near the end anyway. I'll shut up. You all be good. Thank you for your patience, and I appreciate you all very much. Thanks for watching the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube.